In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After the last four Sundays, which were full of penitential themes, it may seem odd to you, but once we are in Lent, the Sundays of Lent are celebrations rather than focused primarily on repentance, although there's always a theme of repentance in our services. But the primary focus of the service last night and of today is one of celebration. We're celebrating the triumph of orthodoxy. The reason why this happens, it's not that Lent dispenses with a penitential theme, it's that that mainly is the focus of the weekdays of Lent, which is why if you limit your church attendance to only coming to the Sunday services, you're really missing out on Lent, because on Sunday we're really celebrating the fact that we finished the struggle of the previous week and we're preparing ourselves to enter into the next week. It's a time of refreshment. It's a time to relax just a little bit before we start it over again on Monday. But why do we celebrate the triumph of orthodoxy on the first Sunday of Lent? Sometimes you hear people who think during Lent we shouldn't talk about anything that's controversial, we shouldn't say anything negative. But orthodoxy has always been in a struggle with those that oppose it. There are enemies outside of the church, and then there are enemies that arise within the church. And we as Orthodox Christians have an obligation to continue as those who have gone before us to stand firm in the faith that we've received. St. Jude, in his very short epistle, wrote in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." One thing that this tells us is that our faith was once delivered unto the saints. You could translate that even once and for all delivered unto the saints. And the word delivered is the verbal form of the Greek word traditioned. So Christ gave to the apostles our faith, and the apostles have passed that on to their successors, and that faith has been passed on to us. Unlike the Roman Catholics, we do not accept the notion of dogmatic development, which doesn't mean that over time the church has not more precisely defined its doctrines. For example, if you take the issue of the veneration of icons, the church always had a proper understanding of the veneration of icons. But it was only when there arose a heresy of people who rejected that veneration that the church felt the need to very clearly state what that teaching is. And so when heresies have arisen, in some ways there has been some benefit to the church because the church has clarified what we believe about these things, but we've not added any doctrines. We don't come up with new things. We don't make stuff up in the Orthodox Church. Also, we're told that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. And the word earnestly contend means literally to fight for the faith. It doesn't mean that we go out and we cut people's heads off if they disagree with us, but it does mean that we stand firm for the faith and we defend it verbally against those that attack us, those that try to contradict the faith. We don't have an "I'm okay, you're okay" attitude. We don't say, "Well, maybe you're right, maybe we're wrong" when it comes to what the church has passed on to us. There are certainly many things that we don't know for sure. The church has not given us the answers to every question that we might like to have answered. And so when the church doesn't have a clear answer for us, we can say, "Well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that." But when it comes to those things that the church has handed down to us, there's not any question about it. And we can and should stand firm and clear for what we've received. But how do we go about that? How do we, as Orthodox Christians, continue to participate in the ongoing triumph of orthodoxy? Because orthodoxy will always ultimately triumph. The only question is whether it will happen with our participation or whether it will happen without us, or in some cases, God forbid, maybe despite us. Well, first off, to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints, we have to come to know what that faith is. St. Peter tells us in his first epistle that we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're to always be ready. That means we have to take time to prepare. We have to study. We have to learn about our faith. And when he says that we should do it in meekness and fear, as I've said many times, the word in Greek meekness doesn't mean weakness like we often want to take it to mean. It means that we do so in a controlled way. In Greek, you would talk about a trained Doberman pincher as being meek, but you wouldn't think of a Doberman pincher as weak, just that a trained Doberman pincher knows what to do and he listens to his master and he doesn't do anything without his master telling him what to do. Aristotle defined this word as being a mean or a middle between, on the one extreme, spineless indifference, and on the other extreme, uncontrolled anger. So as Orthodox Christians, when we are contending for the faith, when we're answering people who contradict the Orthodox faith, we shouldn't be mean. We don't have to scream, stomp our feet. We don't have to be unpleasant people, but we should stand firm and defend that faith. And when we do so with fear, that means with reverence. When we talk about things of the faith, we should always do that with a reverence, understanding that these things are sacred. We shouldn't be light or jovial about the deep mysteries of the faith, and we certainly shouldn't take shots at the fathers or our traditions and make light of them, as sometimes you hear people do. What we believe theoretically also has to coincide with the way that we live our lives. Christ taught us to let our lives shine before men so that they will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Also, as Orthodox Christians, we're taught that as we worship, so we believe. Or if you want the technical Latin phrase, it's lex orandi, lex credendi. Literally, the rule of worship is the rule of faith. If you want to know what we believe, you need to listen to our services. But of course, to listen to our services, you have to actually be here, because we spell out what we believe. You couldn't listen to the services and not understand the doctrine of the Trinity. If you listen to them attentively, the doctrine of the Trinity is laid out very clearly to us in just about every service. But when we look at our own life of prayer and worship and attendance to the services of the church, what does that reveal about what we actually believe? Because if we're not coming to church, if we're not spending time in prayer, what does that say that we actually believe? It doesn't say anything good about what we believe. It says that we don't take our faith very seriously. St. James wrote, "I will show you my faith by my works." How we live, how we treat those around us, how we worship, show us and the world what we believe. If we would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, we have to follow the teachings of those saints and pass them on faithfully just as we have received them. But we also have to emulate the holy examples of these saints and to pray the prayers that they passed on to us. We need to live the life of prayer and worship and fasting that they've shown us and taught us so that we can indeed be lights to the world, so that all those around us may come to know that faith also and glorify our Father in heaven. Amen.